all day. You're welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, that's all right.
That's what he said. Love you all.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
If there was a night I had an extra battery supply at my disposal, this is that night for me. I tell you, even two TVs is not enough. So much is going on. Tom O'Neill here with Tom on the Radio, and as you can kind of hear, we are joined by the man that is cooler than a streaker in the hockey rink, and that is Steve Baxley. How the heck are you, big guy?
Oh, I'm back and feeling 100% after a Saturday that, I don't wish what happened to me on Saturday even on my worst enemy.
Okay.
According to your
Facebook page, you were kind of hit with a Joe Frazier left and knocked down with a little case of the flu.
Yep, I had a little case of the flu, and unlike regular flus, you can get through it, and you can still stand up and take a few more punches. But this one, I couldn't even stand up. I couldn't even do Jay's show Saturday night. It just
now that's saying
out.
Something.
It zonked me out to the point where I just said, I can't do this. I gotta get to the safety and sanity of bed. Let's put it this way. I kept Kimberly Clark. I kept Puffs. I kept Coca-Cola Company. I kept...
Yeah, Long Family Bell.
I even kept Canada Dry. I kept them all in business.
So you did a lot of fluids Saturday.
Oh, yes. I did a lot of fluids. And then I won the marathon race to the toilet. So
I know how you feel, Steve. I know how you feel. There have been times very recently where I made A line, B line, C line, D line to the facilities.
I tell you, man, having the flu, you do not want it. I tell you, that thing could strip you of not only your system to fight back. I mean, it'll make you go completely cuckoo in the old mouth department. I mean, I was like going, "Testing back, come on, you time." I mean, the last check I made on my Saturday, my fever was at about 101 to 102.1. I now know how an FM radio feels.
What you mean?
Well, let's see. At 102.1, I started to hear classical music. At 101.7, I started to hear rock music.
Was there any Ozzy Osbourne in that rock music collection?
No, that would have been at 106.9, and then that would have
talk about a crazy train.
Oh boy! And speaking of a nice smooth segue, what a segue to the Bombshell.
Hey, exactly. Oh. That's why I'm here, to have smooth segues.
I mean, wow. I mean, talk about your Mother's Day surprises.
Yeah. After 33 years, or actually 34 years, the first couple of rock and roll has called it quits.
Yeah, I mean, I was like everyone else, shocked when I heard this. I mean, I'm like, come on, not these guys.
No. And the reports are that Ozzy Osbourne hasn't been seen since they announced that of the split.
Oh, boy. And I mean, she was his rock.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're saying that this has nothing to do with drug and alcohol. I can only think of one other thing that would do that kind of thing. It's the kind of thing you would see on Maury Povich.
Yep, I kind of think those. I think she had an itch that Ozzy couldn't scratch, if you know what I mean. I think you do.
Or maybe he did have an itch, but he had someone else to scratch it.
Well, that could go either way. This is, I think, the second, I'm not going to say call it divorce. I'll just say for the Osbourne, a little separation.
A little separation anxiety.
The award-winning CBS show The Talk has had. I mean, first Aisha Tyler is divorcing her husband of 20-plus years. And now this little bombshell, this little bonmont.
Yeah. Well, we know one marriage don't have to go through that on that show, and that's Julie Chen and Les Moonves.
Yes. Talk about your, as I said once, I'll say it again, talk about your ultimate job security.
Ultimate. She has the most secure job in network television.
Yes, and now that he literally runs the entire enterprise, that ultimate job security has now become ultra job security.
Yeah, and now they're talking about taping the weekend news in the morning and the evening, dumping the staffs of those two programs. I don't know if they're taping Sunday morning, but they're trying to find a way to cut costs.
That's right. But as we puddle jump backwards, back to topic A, we go from side topic to topic.
This is kind of like your show, The Last Call Cafe, with Logan at 6 every Friday night at 11:30 on Blog Talk Radio. Well, so we're just copycatting your program.
Ozzy reportedly missing. Ozzy reportedly missing.
Yes.
Wow.
Is he too old for Amber Alert?
Maybe an Arthur Alert. I don't know, but
Arthur Alert. I don't know how Sharon can. I mean, this show is done live every day. I don't know how she can do her show, not only splitting from Ozzy, but not knowing where he is.
This is true. I think it was AJ Benz, a former gossip columnist for New York Times, who said it best when he used to have an E show, when E Entertainment Television didn't stand for All Kardashians All the Time. He coined the phrase that has continued, that it's become timeless. Fame. Ain't it a bitch?
Yes.
And the price of fame sometimes is your soul, but also sometimes is your heart in that soul. And in Ozzy Osbourne, in Sharon Osbourne's case, that heart, that soul, I think this fame and the fame of their previous existence as the family of MTV, because remember, they shot up to fame when they were on, they had their own reality show.
And the thing is, their very being is tied into their on-camera persona. And let's face it, Sharon's persona is a higher than Ozzy's right now, and maybe it ate at him over time.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing about Sharon Osbourne that I have observed in previous, just by watching her on The Talk. Out of all the cast of The Talk, Sharon, with the exception of Cheryl, Sharon is the other person there that literally has no filter on her. She will speak her mind, and she will literally keep the audio guys busy going, oh, please don't say that one word. Please don't say that one word. God bless the, let's put it this way, God bless the guy with the, who hits that bleep button in the audio room. He gets paid combat pay.
Yes. It doesn't matter. I mean, what are they going to do, fire her? I mean, because if they fire her, all it's going to do is create buzz.
Yeah, they don't want, and that's one thing CBS right now wants to stay away from, is bad publicity.
Well, you know what they say, Steve, bad publicity is better than no publicity.
And let's all say it together, kids, the Eric Bischoff line,
controversy
create
cash.
Which
leads us to the other two which leads us now to the other two networks in the daytime. The Emmy Award-winning Live with Kelly and Michael will just be Live with Kelly in 4 more days. What I want to find interesting is are they going to stay in tradition and tape the Friday show Thursday?
That's going to be interesting just to find out. And also, you got to think inside Michael Strahan's heart. He is going, oh, good, good. The pain, the embarrassment, the agony. It's almost over. It's almost over. I can go now.
I don't think Michael Strahan liked the fact that even though he probably said it didn't matter when he first got there, having your co-anchor make $57,000 a day, I think that was like a little bit more than he could stomach.
Yeah, because, well, let's face it. Yes, over at McDonald's now. To put it another way,
I'm going to give you a secret, Steve, about McDonald's. I'm going to give you a secret. Yes, I eat McDonald's. But I have my food of choice there now. I can tell you, double quarter pounder with cheese.
Sweet mystery.
It is good.
Uh-huh. But get me hungry, and I've already had supper.
Oh, you so hungry. Oh, you so hungry. Me eat a long time.
not only is Michael Strahan counting the days, I will predict who may get his chair even before they even predicted.
And please don't say Anderson Cooper.
It's not going to be Anderson Cooper. No, no, no.
Ooh.
Try the man who Strahan beat for the gig, because one of the producers at Live was a Strahan supporter.
Okay.
Three names, one ego, Neil Patrick Harris. Neil Patrick Harris. I got this feeling.
That's a name I have not heard yet.
Neil Patrick Harris, I think, is going to get it, because on the day of Strahan's last show, I predict Kelly Ripa is going to go up to the management, the folks that control the show, WABC7, and tell them she wants Neil Patrick Harris. And they've already seen what happens when she doesn't get what she wants.
Yeah, they got to scratch a $57,000 check for her not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I just can't fathom
that, Steve. $57,000 is among my top five earnings yearly in my professional lifetime. And
no,
this woman makes it every day.
Yes, and I will, and I will tell you this. I think also Kelly Ripa was a bit jealous that Michael Strahan. Yeah, that's being kind.
Yeah,
that's being kind.
But she got 57,000 reasons not to be jealous.
Yes, but are you ready for this? I mean, let's count the shows.
Come on, big boy, give it to me.
There's Good Morning America, the prime spot of all prime spots. There's Fox NFL Sunday.
Yes.
Another prime big gig.
Yes.
There is also the return of the 25,000, or they're now, I think they're going to call it the $1 million pyramid.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget his Metamucil commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And he is romantically tied to one of the finest women in the world.
That's right.
That makes Kelly Ripa look like a teenager.
And let's see how many shows Kelly Ripa has. Well, let's see. There's Live with Kelly and Michael.
Let's not forget Live with Regis and Kelly.
Well, that's true. Let's not forget the Colgate commercials.
And let's not forget, a lot of people have forgotten her role in All My Children.
That's right. So let's see. That's three compared to six. And let's also add a little intrigue. That little carrot that ABC corporate is sort of waving at WABC Channel 7. And that says a fourth hour of GMA with Michael Strahan. A third hour of GMA with Michael Strahan.
You know, I think that's gonna happen.
I think so too. I think Kelly Ripa may have, shall we say, not only painted herself in a corner, but painted herself so tight in that corner, there's no way out.
No? I mean, I kind of looked at the show this morning with no audio, and you could tell by the body language, no matter how much they try to act like they like each other, they just despise each other. I mean, Kelly's body language was sitting so far, not far away, but there is not that chummy that make that makes that show what it is.
But oh, I bet you inside, deep inside, they got one thing in common. They're both counting down to the days that Michael Strahan,
yeah,
in his case, he gets to say goodbye forever to Kelly Ripa, and Kelly Ripa,
and that's
say goodbye.
And that's what it is. And that's what that is. It's not saying goodbye to a TV show. It's saying goodbye to a person on that TV show that he can't stand. And she can't stand him because I think he has more likability than she does.
Yeah, because let's put it this way. She says, or one of her supposed friends or a source at the show have always said that when they got Michael Strahan, Kelly Ripa just sort of, shall we say, looked like she was fading in the woodwork as his fame started to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
And she was thinking, hey, I got to do something fast because I want to control this show.
Ooh. Oh, and let's not forget Michael Strahan, Pro Football Hall of Famer.
That's right.
Michael
and
Strahan, very popular among...
That's right. That's right.
One thing I gotta say real quick before I forget. I saw the show this morning. Megyn Kelly is a hot looking woman.
Oh yeah, I envy her husband.
She guessed it on that show this morning, and no wonder Donald Trump has his panties in a bunch. I mean, If I was Donald Trump, I kind of gauge her interest in being in politics. If nothing else, it'd be a very interesting ticket.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Have a safe one.
Okay, now proceed. I just had to say that because I wanted to make sure that Megyn Kelly got her due on this show.
I love that Megyn Kelly. I try not to miss the Kelly file, but when I do, I try to make the repeat because she does not allow any BS. She gets
Bill O'Reilly has his no spin zone. She has her own no BS zone.
Yeah, in fact, she used to be a lawyer, practicing lawyer. I mean, do you realize something, my friend? And I gotta bless Roger Ailes for due diligence in picking out people. You got a practicing lawyer hosting her own show, The Kelly File,
mm-hmm.
and on weekends, you have a practicing judge on her own show at 10 o'clock, I think either 9 or 10 o'clock, Judge Jeanine Pirro. Yep.
They're both hot-looking women.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I will tell you this, if you ever pair them, if she ever gets Hannity's 10 o'clock spot, oh, my God. You better put up a for sale sign on MSNBC and CNN. There is your 1-2 killer lineup.
O'Reilly, Kelly,
yeah,
and Jeanine Pirro.
Yeah. If Roger Ailes, I mean, so help me, if Sean Hannity leaves that cable, that news channel, Fox News channel, they better get
mm-hmm.
Judge Jeanine at that 10 o'clock slot because you will have the best, the biggest 1-2-3 punch in the free world. Ain't nobody can beat that.
No, not even Anderson Cooper, not Don Lemon, not anybody they can throw in there. But I think Roger Ailes has that in his bag of tricks, and he only going to pull it out when he absolutely needs it.
Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you, they got some of the best people there, and Megyn Kelly and Judge Jeanine. Oh God, help! Oh boy, brains, beauty. They got the three B's with those two, with Megyn Kelly and Judge Jeanine. Beauty, brains, and dare I say it, balls.
Mm-hmm. And if the New Day would chime on in here, they would also add a fourth B. Booty!
This show is sponsored by Bootios.
I said this last week, and I'm still surprised that the WWE hasn't licensed that word to one of the cereal makers to actually make a cereal called Bootios. It was still more than Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah, just trying to think, how would you sell it, as a breakfast cereal or as a midnight snack?
Oh. Yeah, give me a handful of Bootios. Name me a woman that doesn't love chocolate.
There you go.
There you go.
Make any rare occasion a rare occasion. Grab yourself.
Get back to the media thing we were talking about before. My time runs out, and I do have the full 45 tonight. So, but I want to get back. NBC is not taking all this stuff lying down about the goings on at ABC or the projected going on at ABC. The rumor out of 30 Rock is actually not a rumor. It's a fact. Billy Bush will be coming east to host the 9 o'clock hour today, and Natalie Morales will be leaving her newsreader spot and 9 o'clock host of the Today Show to head out west to supplant Billy Bush as host of Access Hollywood.
It's begun.
Yeah, I mean, this is a full-fledged war between Good Morning America and Today.
That's right, especially with the Olympics coming in August. Can you see the writing on the wall?
Yes, sir. I can see it.
Mm-hmm. And that writing says, enjoy your retirement, Mr. Lauer.
So you saying it might be time to put Matt Lauer out the pasture?
I just got the feeling if you add it up, and I mean totally add it up, Billy Bush replaced Willie Geist as host of the 9 o'clock.
And Willie Geist got bumped to weekends.
That's right. Billy Bush coming in to replace at 9 o'clock. You think somewhere in 30 Rock, the deepest bowels of that organization, inside Matt Lauer's dressing room, he's looking at himself in the mirror going, I think I better check my 401k fast.
Mm-hmm.
What pull have I got? NBC got rid of my number one supporter, Natalie Morales.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're putting Billy Bush. I think Matt's seeing the writing on the wall, and that writing says, you think you control the Today Show? Check your contract, gunslinger.
Yeah. One other thing about ABC, we're both sure that there's going to be a third hour GMA, but I'm not so sure that it's going to be at the expense of live. There are two other possibilities. They could cancel Rachel Ray among the syndicated fare, or they could cancel The View.
Nice pondering.
I'm thinking The View's days are numbered. Very number, like a few months number. Because you're also starting to hear the rumblings that Whoopi may not want to stay for another season.
I got to agree with you on that, Tom. I'll even double down and say I think ABC News will make the announcement The View will have one more season. And it's going to be a short one because I just got a feeling they're going to segue it slowly into GMA's third hour.
And I think you're going to see at least one change, possibly two changes on the panel again.
Mm-hmm.
One of them might be Whoopi.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think Whoopi has had enough of the news department's control of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's the only one. I think Joy Behar may also be rethinking her stay.
There's a lot more to that story than that's currently being publicized. So anyway, we're in my version of the Afterglow, and I want to start the Afterglow with the fact that Jeff Blashill will still be the head coach of the Detroit Red Wings next season, which will be the last one in Joe Louis Arena, but he will have two new assistants, well, actually three new assistants on the bench with him. Two new assistant coaches and a new goaltending coach because Tony Granato, as we know, is heading to the University of Wisconsin after I'm sure he was told by Ken Holland that his services will not be needed after the season. And the other assistant coach got reassigned in the organization. And the goaltending coach, Ken Bedard, has outrightly been released from the team. So, Jeff Blashill will have a new coaching staff next year, which I think that's going to ratchet up the pressure on three people: Mike Ilitch, mm-hmm. Jeff Blashill, and Ken Holland.
Mm-hmm. And with the release of the goaltenders coach, I have a feeling you've seen the last of Jimmy Howard.
Yes. You will see the team get younger next year, especially if Pavel Datsyuk does not return to the team next year, which is very likely that he's not. But that's going to be a very transitional and fluid team next year going into their new arena in a year. It makes it sound like we're not in the rebuild mode, but we're pretty damn close.
This is true, and I will make this little prediction. If they start to rebuild, if they start to go younger, keep some of the recognizable folks, you know, keep some of the more keep the veterans, you know, to help teach the young their little fashion. I think their final year at the Joe will be a Stanley Cup year.
Wow.
And how nice would it be?
That's a bold prediction.
Yeah. And I'm sticking with it. If the Red Wings draft and do things good, even with the salary cap that they got on them right now temporarily, I see their final season, it'd be nice to give Joe Louis Arena the ultimate send-off and win the Stanley Cup. I think they can do it.
But I also think, by the way, the Tigers lost tonight on the walk-off homer by the Nats, and Nashville and San Jose tied 3 apiece in the last minute of the third period. So we might be smelling overtime in this series. Read something in Facebook a couple of days ago from Terry Foster. He's saying he's either trying to stir the pot or he knows something from the inside that not too many of us know. He's saying that the Tigers will not progress as long as Brad Ausmus is still the manager. And with, I think it's now 7 straight losses, the Vultures are starting to assemble.
Yep, they're starting to practice their V wing shape, or their V wing, and they're headed to Comerica Park. But again, too early to tell. But knowing this season and the way things have been going, I would not be too surprised if by All Star break, Brad Ausmus becomes a former manager.
If not before.
And the head tiger, in this case the owner, tries, and it will be in vain, to convince Jim Leland again.
Well, isn't Leland kind of involved with the U.S. World Baseball Team?
Yes, he is. And if that fire is still in him, maybe there's a little chance.
Now, Jim Leland is a baseball lifer, and I'm sure he didn't. Him leaving the Tigers was not his choice. And
I will agree.
I think that under these circumstances, I think he would come back.
Mm-hmm.
That would add
some
energy to the team, I can tell you that.
Because right now, I mean, everybody may be starting to blame Brad Ausmus for the way this season is going this early. Problem in the infield and the outfield, some of your pitching as well. It's not gelling like it's supposed to be.
And the bottom line is wins and losses.
Yeah, I mean, right now, like I say, it's too early, but
maybe not. Hey, maybe not too early. Maybe. As I said, the Vultures are starting to assemble and getting ready to circle the carcass.
That's right.
You know, it's not to your next month is June. And if the Tigers are still in the same situation they're in now, there might be some changes on that team.
Yep. And I think Mr. Ausmus is feeling the burn, and I don't mean that in a political way. I mean, he's feeling some heat in the derriere section that I don't think Preparation H would cure.
Hey. So, and then on top of that, let's address the elephant in the room. Mike Ilitch is not exactly a spring chicken, and with each season that passes by between his Red Wings and Tigers that don't win the title, that's one less year he has to enjoy a title, which is why there is urgency on Woodward Avenue.
Oh, yes. In fact, one of the lesser-known media folks, Jeff Moss of Detroit Sports Rag.
Influential.
he had a very nice, he made a nice suggestion as to if they ever, if the Illiches ever sell the team, who might be interested in owning it. Not Dan Gilbert, but how about adding a little spice to the Tigers, a little heat, as it were, in the name of, say, Mark Cuban?
What?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Nostrom, one of his tweets, said that he had the ideal person to own the Tigers and to light a fire on them would be Mark Cuban.
He tried to buy a team. He tried to buy the Texas Rangers at one time, and the owners weren't that warm to him. But we're in a new era now in baseball, and I think it's more business than gut feelings. So I think Mark Cuban would be more received this time if he chose to get into baseball.
Could you imagine if he did buy the Tigers? You remember the Chicago White Sox under Bill Veeck?
Yes.
That was...
He was the one that gave the world exploding scoreboards.
That's right. That was literally... I mean, Bill Veeck was literally the Picasso of Major League Baseball owners. If Mark Cuban had a chance... or has a chance to buy a team, say the Detroit Tigers, that would be like giving the Mona Lisa to Renoir. I mean, Cuban, he is a master. I mean, things that this guy touches, I mean, sure, he's only won one NBA title with the Dallas Mavericks that he owned. But he had the pieces there to get that title. If he got the Tigers, there would be some big pieces being added and some little flops saying bye-bye.
You would have a lot of big-name players that want to come to Detroit only because of Mark Cuban.
You would see Max Scherzer return. You would see Jonas Cespedes return. If Mark Cuban owned the Tigers, they would have been on their third World Series trophy.
Mm. Leland would probably still be manager.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Three World Series trophies in a row.
Mm. Boy, that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not going to happen until Mike Ilitch leaves us.
And Mike Ilitch will never leave us.
He will go to his grave with the Tigers and the Red Wings.
Yes, I figure this, and I don't mean this as an offense or an insult. When and or if the day happens that Mr. Ilitch is no longer among us, I have a feeling he will be given his tribute with the Tigers World Series trophy and the Red Wings Stanley Cup. I just got this feeling. Plus,
and with that, Steve, you know what time it is.
Plus an added surprise, a $5 hot and ready pepperoni pizza.
Oh, stop it. Not at the arena. You can't even get a cup of water for $5, especially this new arena. I can't imagine
mm-hmm.
how much decent-sized pizza is going to cost at this new arena.
That's
so
true.
That's
now
another,
it's time
that,
to say
topic
goodbye.
For another, that's another topic for another time. We got to go before this woman says thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Steve, I'll talk to you Friday in the Last Call Cafe.
You got it.
And I'm Tom O'Neill.